I got chills right now. Memorial Day holiday. I love that song. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Don't forget what the holiday's all about.
Reminds us that freedom isn't free.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Nope. And, wow, that was good. All right, welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine, wrapping up episode 748. We're coming up on 750 episodes here next couple of weeks. Let's go to Dennis from Frisco. Good morning, Dennis. What's up?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
So back in my, first, I'm a disabled vet. I've got all kinds of issues with my spine. I had a laminectomy from like the L2 through the S1 back in March. And I started having the same, like the neurological symptoms I had prior to the surgery, I started having back again. I was told at the time that I'm not a fusion candidate because the stability of my spine is good. But I've been told multiple times that I have bulges and herniated discs and all kinds of stuff going on in there. So I just, I need to know what my next move would be, I guess.
Well, so we're not going to offer a second opinion, but you're really lucky that Dr. Blumenthal is here, one of the world-renowned spine surgeons. And so, Scott, when you hear I'm not a candidate for fusion, what is that? What is that?
That is rare in Dallas-Fort Worth because the incidence of fusions, particularly in North Texas, is one of the highest in the U.S., which means that a lot of DFW surgeons are very, very overly aggressive. The fact that his spine is stable.
Tell people what fusion means.
Fusion, so laminectomy is when you remove some arthritic bone off the nerves to unpinch nerves. It's done for nerve pain. A fusion is when the vertebrae are unstable or not stable, meaning they have excess motion. And that's where you make the bones grow together. So you've got, so L2 to S1 is four levels. You're going to get rid of four or five spinal levels of motion. And there are problems that occur after that as well. There are some instances where fusion is an appropriate thing. So the fact that your surgeon said your spine's stable, so don't have a fusion, is, to me, actually the sign of a prudent surgeon. So the question is, why are you still hurting? And that's, you almost got to start over. You do the x-rays and the physical exam and the MRI, maybe some nerve tests, things like that. So it really just takes, you know, objective diagnoses. And when someone has problems after laminectomy, which is somewhat of an old term, but I understand what you're saying, we have to start over and go back to your surgeon if you like him and ask him what's next. And if he can't help you, get another opinion. So I hope that answers your question.
Dennis, it sounds like that's the conservative approach, but it doesn't solve your problem. So I tend to agree with Scott. I mean, I can't not agree with Scott. He is the expert. But I think start over. Yeah, let's figure this out. All right. Thanks, bud. Someone suggested Steak and Shake as skinny fries.
Have you had those, Scott?
Yeah. They're okay, but I don't think they're Wingstop or McDonald's, the Golden Arches.
So we got 5 minutes.
Have you tried the In-N-Out fries yet? The In-N-Out animal style fries.
Yeah, In-N-Out. I mean, they came with big hype from California. The burgers are good.
Decent.
The fries are disappointing. And my whole family agrees. This is what seldom do you get a bunch of people to all agree. None of us are fans of In-N-Out fries.
Well, not your sister. She's the one that suggested it on Facebook.
What?
What?
Doesn't know his own family.
Amy?
Amy.
And I'm sorry, not fries, grilled onions. I apologize. So.
Okay, no, the onions? Yeah.
Well, so now I get where the derailer comes from. It's familial.
It's familial.
We're not talking about onions. All right, so we're wrapping up episode 748.
That's funny. It's funny. Just quickly, people ask me, how come my discs degenerate? And I said, two reasons, genetics and gravity.
Mm. That's true.
Genetics is a component of everything.
Someday, and I've said this before on the show, someday, maybe 50 years from now, everything is going to revolve around your DNA. Everything. Whether you get COVID or not get COVID, whether you get cancer or not get cancer. I don't know exactly how or why, but DNA is a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. And if you... It's funny, we're coming back full circle. If you look at COVID and coronavirus, it's basically a strand of DNA, actually RNA, that's mm-hmm. wrapped up in a protein. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Its entire reason for being is to keep the RNA alive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not a far stretch 50 years from now to realize that everything's going to boil down to that.
I agree.
All right. How do you want to wrap this up?
Last dance.
So we have been glued to it. Obviously, because we're all sports fans, and the ratings reflect that as well. And one of the negative aspects of having a weekly show is that something that takes place Saturday night, we can't talk about it till a week later. Mm-hmm. So the Last Dance episodes 9 and 10 were Sunday. So we are now taking a couple of minutes to talk about it. And I, for one, thought it was one of the best sports documentaries. People have criticized it for being tilted towards MJ. Well, it was a documentary about MJ. But Scott, from the Spine perspective, and Brad were both talking about that last game when Scottie Pippen had back spasms.
Oh, dude.
And what was that like to go up and down the court with back spasms?
I don't know.
It is right there. Sorry if you're watching on Facebook. There, Scottie Pippen right there.
So there are very few people of adult age or greater who've never experienced that, and we all have. I know you have. I have. Have you had?
Yep. Debilitating.
Yeah.
Debilitating.
And you think there's something really, really wrong, and most of the time it's not.
Literally can't move.
Right.
Bedridden.
Literally can't move.
Yes.
So I was telling Scott during the break that I saw one of my men. So my wife and kids were asking me when we were watching this, isn't there anything you can do as a sports doc? And I said, well, yeah, you do the stem and the ice and the tens, and you do everything you can do to break up the spasms. But whatever pills you give him can't work in time, so it's not like you can go in at halftime and give him something. I saw one of my mentors do this, and I've always wanted to ask Scott about this. And I'm not going to mention his name just in case this is controversial. But we had an athlete who had back spasms, mm-hmm. and he was on the training table on his stomach, and the paraspinal muscles were just rock hard. Mm. And he took a syringe of lidocaine mm-hmm. and injected up and down the paraspinal spasms.
Almost like trigger point injections, kind of?
Almost like trigger point injections. I've never done that, nor have I ever seen it since. And this was 30 years ago?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
You're numbing
it up, basically. You're trying to break it up.
I don't even think you're breaking up the spasm. You're just trying to block the pain, I think.
Where does the pain come from?
Because I don't know if it would relax it. I mean, you're right. It's not a muscle relaxer. It's anesthetic.
It's numbing, yeah.
Right.
And then there was a commercial, almost, maybe they sponsored the Last Dance, but about the topical lidocaine?
Yeah, we use lidoderm patches. So, yeah, those are...
And we do, too, for a sprained ankle because it's right under the skin. Right. But how is that possible to get into this? How does that work?
It doesn't. All it's doing is numbing the sensory nerves...
Superficially,
which go deep. I mean, they go superficial, but they go deep in the hope that the nerve... You know, the conductions will stop the pain impulses. It doesn't work for everybody.
I am pretty certain they threw the kitchen sink at him.
Oh, yeah.
It was game 6 of the finals. I am certain they threw the kitchen sink at him. Yeah. And
I love that they interviewed, you know, when on the navicular injury thing. The old Bulls doctor. Because he was, I went to medical school in Chicago, and he was one of my attendings at Northwestern.
I know John very well.
Great guy.
He is my consultant in Chicago, and somebody says, hey, do you have an orthopedist in Chicago? I send him to John Heffron. But it was very entertaining. I think the criticisms, what I've heard, are reasonably valid. My takeaway message was Michael Jordan was the best. That was the message. And there's a young generation that did not see it. They've heard it, but they never saw it. But that's what I took. So, Brad, you represent the young generation. Thoughts? You got a couple minutes.
I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, so I was in high school in the 90s. So I finished in 98. So I finished high school the last year of his, career, at least with the Bulls. And so, it was good reliving it. I mean, it's very much like who was the guy we were watching on who played for Miami? Udonis Haslem.
Yeah.
He had an interview the other day. He was like, man, you just forget
how good he was.
And like I was saying before, I think he's extremely athletic, but that mental toughness is something that I've never seen. Only other person I've seen have it similar is Tiger Woods.
Yep.
Still the greatest for me. Just saying.
Who?
LeBron's still the greatest for me. No. Over Jordan. Just saying.
Flag on you.
All right. One of the other sports talk shows was talking about other series like that one they'd want to see. And number one is if they would do one on Tiger. Like a 10-part thing. Oh. But again, the criticism be...
It's one-sided.
He'd have to open up a little bit more.
All right, Inside Sports Medicine, episode 748. Hopefully you guys enjoyed being with us for a couple of hours. I don't know that we were very, very informative today. Although Wingstop, we probably did some good for them.
Yeah. I'm in the mood for it now.
And we probably pulled the curtain back on Hillstone and all those places. Until next week, you can follow us on Facebook. You can come see us. At Texas Sports Medicine and Scott at
Center for Disc Replacement.
On behalf of all of us here on Inside Sports Medicine and ESPN,
tell your friends.